is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
When I was a kid growing up in Mississippi, we were taught that the Sermon on the Mount was true. Somebody came up and hit you on the face, you turned the other cheek. But if somebody said something about your mama, then you could hit them and hit them hard. The Bible allowed you to do that. Well, right now, we're talking about how do you respond to insult when the insult comes against your religion. And we're seeing that all over our television screens right now as Muslims are rioting in the streets. They're threatening murder and mayhem. And really, there's a deeper issue here. Muslims are upset because of some cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad, the alleged Prophet Muhammad. And they believe that that means that they should come after the nation of Denmark. But there's a bigger question here. How do we as Christians deal with people of other religions? Do we sometimes resort to ridicule? I mean, some of the things that people believe are patently ridiculous. Some of the things that people hold to are dangerous. How far do we go in pointing these things out? And I want you to join the conversation. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. How ought we to deal with Muslims and with Mormons and with Jehovah's Witnesses and with others who believe things that aren't just silly, they're dangerous? 877-893-TALK. And join the conversation. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, who is still on the West Coast speaking at Biola University, giving the Torrey Honors Lectures there. And so please be in prayer for Dr. Mohler as he is on a whirlwind speaking schedule. Today in the news, President Bush spoke, trying to shore up public support for the war on terrorism, saying that there was a foiled plot in 2002 by Al-Qaeda terrorists to fly it into a tower, the Library Tower in Los Angeles. The West Coast Plot is what it is being called, and something tells me we're going to be hearing more about this in days to come. In other news, Ken is getting a makeover. Ken who? Well, Ken! Barbie's Ken! You know, they split up a couple of years ago, and now he has been to the gym. The Associated Press or Reuters News Service says he is buff, he is stylish, he is trying to get Barbie back, and the company is going for a worldly European thing, spokesman says, because Ken definitely wanted to be hot. I know the entire world is waiting to see how that will turn out. Cindy Sheehan, the anti-Iraq war activist who has been agitating against the war for a long time now, says she is not going to run against California Senior Senator Dianne Feinstein for the campaign for United States Senate. She says she's not going to run for office. I suppose she'll have more time to hang out in Crawford, Texas, and at the White House and on Capitol Hill. In other news, you remember the gay penguins in Germany. Well, it seems that they are still fending off female advances. They do not want these females. They still want male company. And you know what happens? This means that the zoo cannot pair up these gay penguins with females for the point of reproduction because last time they tried that, there was a furious response from gay rights groups who say, let the penguins be gay. Well, there are a lot more serious things going on in the world than gay penguins, and right now there are a lot of people worried for their lives because of Muslims literally rioting in the streets. And what is the cause of all of this seems to be cartoons. Now, I don't know how many times you have seen cartoons that mock Christianity and that mock even Jesus a few times. I remember a cartoon several years ago that had a picture of John the Baptist baptizing Jesus with the caption, John the Baptist, and then the next caption was John the Baptist holding someone under the water with bubbles coming up, and it said, John the Southern Baptist. Now, That was a little bit offensive, a little bit humorous to me as a Southern Baptist, but I never had the impression that what I ought to do is to go and burn down the newspaper area of the newspaper building that published the cartoon. But there's a different worldview and mindset among the nation's Muslims. They are saying the nation of Denmark allowed this to happen, and that means the nation of Denmark ought to be in danger wherever it is, wherever Denmark's embassies are throughout the world, and it is becoming more and more a world crisis right now. Kofi Annan, head of the United Nations, spoke to the cartoon controversy just today, and this is what he had to say.
I do not understand why any newspaper will publish the cartoons today. It is insensitive, it is offensive, it is provocative, and they should see what has happened around the world. This does not mean that I'm against freedom of speech or freedom of the press. Yes, I am for that. But as I have indicated in the past, freedom of speech is not a license. It does entail exercising responsibility and judgment. And quite honestly, I don't understand why any editor will publish cartoon at this time, which inflames and pours oil on the fire.
So it sounds like what Kofi Annan is saying is that it's the fault of the Danish cartoonists in drawing this cartoon. Now, I'm not defending the cartoonists. They're probably smug secularists who would be just as willing to draw the same kind of thing about Jesus of Nazareth. And yet, I mean, come on. Rioting in the streets over a cartoon that has been drawn by someone you recognize to be an unbeliever, these Muslims would recognize these Danish cartoonists to be infidels. So why would they be surprised that they are drawing a picture of the Prophet Muhammad? But there's really a bigger issue here, and that is you've got all of these different worldviews coming into conversation. And you and I are having these kind of conversations all the time, not on any global scene, but just in our own neighborhoods. We have Muslims around us now all the time. We're going to be witnessing to Muslims in our own neighborhoods, and that's going to be happening more and more and more as the days go on. We're also going to be dealing with Mormons. We're going to be dealing with Hindus. We're going to be dealing with Wiccans, with neo-pagans, with all kinds of belief systems. And sometimes we wonder, what's the appropriate way to do this? We ought to tolerate religious differences legally, and we believe that as Americans, but that also means that we're free to critique one another, and to critique one another sometimes very sharply and very directly, and sometimes that's the best way to get through to someone is to speak directly. I mean, I had some Mormons in my house just a couple of weeks ago, and I tried to be very loving and very kind to them. And yet at the same time, I wanted to be direct enough to say, you know, I believe that Joseph Smith just was not a prophet at all. I know that that offends you, but I think that if Joseph Smith were in contact with any kind of power, it was a demonic power. And I'm willing to say the same thing honestly to our Muslim friends. We ought to love them. We ought to seek to serve them. But we also ought to seek to be honest enough with them to say, I believe that Allah is a false god. He's no god at all. If Allah exists, he's a demon. And that means that what you need desperately is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes that requires directness without turning over into mean-spiritedness, in which we sometimes think that debate over our religious differences ought to look like Hannity and Combs. I'm the Christian, you're the Muslim, and let's get together and ridicule one another so that you'll see that my argument is more powerful than your argument. When in reality, the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't win out through a powerful argument. The problem is not just intellectual. The problem is a heart issue, and that means that the gospel has to come forward with the power of the Holy Spirit, which means it's not just what we say in the gospel, it's how we communicate the gospel. We have to be more diligent than Danish cartoonists in speaking to Muslims, but that doesn't mean that we need to be any less direct. We're going to be speaking in a few minutes with Paul Marshall of Freedom House, who is analyzing religious liberty and religious freedom, religious persecution all over the world. He's going to give us his thoughts about, were these Danish cartoonists wrong to publish these cartoons of Muhammad? Are those who are republishing them wrong to incite this kind of violence? Who's really to blame for this, and what does all of this mean? But I want you to be thinking about, in your own neighborhood, in your own home, the Muslim lady who lives next door. When you share the gospel with her, what are you going to say when she says to you, okay, what about Muhammad? Was Muhammad a prophet of God? I believe Jesus was a prophet of God. Was Muhammad a prophet of God? Wouldn't you say that both of us worship Allah? How are you going to respond to that? How directly? How sharply? How sensitively? Or are you just going to say, well, we both worship Allah, and we both understand that the Quran has some good things to say, and the Bible has some good things to say, but you really need to investigate a little bit more what the prophet Jesus has to say. I don't know if that's what the Apostle Paul is doing in Acts chapter 17. Matter of fact, I think that's exactly the opposite of what he's doing. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do you dialogue with other religions? Witness or ridicule? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. It's the end of the world as I know it, but I feel fine. You have apocalypse breaking out all over the world if you listen to some commentators as Muslims are rioting. And the question is, how do you respond to this? How, as Christians, should we understand the way that we ought to dialogue with people of other world religions, especially when things are getting ratcheted up quite a bit when the issue is violence and bloodshed in response to cartoons about Muhammad? What I want to hear from you is, how should we as Christians respond to people of other religions? How should we seek to dialogue with both truth and grace as we talk to people who are Muslims or Mormons or Hindus or others, especially those who are coming sometimes from other world systems that don't value freedom, that don't value dialogue? How can you show them, I love you, I respect your right as a citizen to believe what you believe, and yet I think it's nonsense. I think it's hogwash. There's got to be a better way than the way that these Danish cartoonists have done it with the cartoons. And there has to be a better way than the way that these Muslim rioters are doing it, burning things down in the streets. My guest today is Dr. Paul Marshall with Freedom House, who is a well-recognized writer and speaker on issues of religious liberty and religious freedom all over the world. He has recently written an article for the Weekly Standard magazine called The Muhammad Cartoons. Dr. Marshall, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you very much indeed for having me.
It's good to have you with us. You wrote an article in which you say Western governments don't have anything to apologize for. What do you mean?
Firstly, we have the cartoons by a Danish newspaper. In the reaction to that, what you've had is people not only criticizing the newspaper — criticizing newspapers is fair game — but when someone criticizes a government, they're implying that that government has to control the newspaper. To criticize a government is itself an assault on a free press. And that's my particular objection there. Sorry for that background noise coming in. So here what we're getting is a call from countries in the Middle East and elsewhere, not just complaining about cartoons, but demanding that the state control not only freedom of the press, but what people say about religion. So there's also an assault on freedom of religion here.
So you and I can probably both agree that the cartoons were crass.
Yes.
And offensive, and yet you're exactly right. They're not simply protesting the newspapers. They're demanding that the governments are responsible for the running of these cartoons.
Yes, and, you know, in these countries, the state controls the press, and what they're trying to do is trying to control our press as well. Mm-hmm. So there's very much an assault on freedom here. One thing I say in the article is I draw a distinction between religious toleration and religious freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Religious toleration means, it's complex, but in short terms, means don't go around insulting other people's religions. That's a good thing. Religious freedom means you can embrace a religion, you can reject a religion, you can criticize a religion. What our governments are concerned about, should be concerned about, is religious freedom. So if you want to say to someone else, I think your religion's wrong, or if you want to go further, I think your religion is evil, then you are free to do so. That's what religious freedom is.
In the same way that we have political freedom that would also enable us to say, I think your political views are hogwash.
Yes. A free society is a society where people criticize each other, disagree with each other, sometimes insult each other. We should insult each other less, but politically, if we want to do so, we're quite free to do so. Freedom is a sort of rambunctious, argumentative society. If everything's quiet and nothing's happening, that's probably a sure sign it's an authoritarian state.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that all of this ruckus over the Muhammad cartoons might lead to even increased persecution of Christians around the world?
Yes, I think it might. In fact, it already has. There are mixed reports, but as some of our listeners may know, a Catholic priest was shot and killed in Turkey several days ago. There are strong indications that the person who killed him was doing so trying to respond to these cartoons in Denmark. There have been churches attacked in Lebanon. There have been threats made against Christian churches in Egypt. So you're getting local Muslim populations, often whipped up by radicals, who are also venting their anger, not just on newspapers, but also on Western governments and local Christians. So this is already causing an upsurge against Christians around the world.
Now, Dr. Marshall, when you had The Last Temptation of Christ, for instance, you did not have Christians worldwide rioting violently. Does the response of Muslims to these cartoons, does this tell us something about Islam itself?
Well, it tells us something about Muslims these days. As you said, not only The Last Temptation of Christ, but we've had artworks which Christians have found very insulting.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christian response has been to write letters to the editor, or to have a peaceful demonstration to stand outside and hold placards. Again, this is freedom, being able to protest things. But the reaction in the Islamic world, when you attack, you burn down an embassy, you kill people, this is an attempt to repress the other. And in many Muslim countries right now, there isn't freedom of religion, there isn't freedom of the press. And many of the populations who were sort of demonstrating, or in other cases actually rioting and just mob attacks, they're not aware that in the Western world, the thing we prize is freedom, that actually our governments aren't controlling our religion. Our governments are not controlling our press. They're hardly aware of this, and it's a very important task for us is to make them aware of this. So often in response to events like this, people say, we need to know more about the Muslim world, and we certainly do. But this points out that they need to know very much more about our world, and as much as we can do to let them know, that would be good.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Paul Marshall, and I'd like to ask you, how do we respond to people of other world religions? Listeners, give us a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do we, if we have religious freedom, we have religious liberty, we're able to have, as Dr. Marshall has said, kind of a whirlwind of dialogue, not silence. So how do we talk to Muslims? How do we talk to Mormons? How do we use the kind of freedom we have, in which I have the freedom to say to a Mormon, Joseph Smith was a fraud, but is that a good idea? I can say that, but how far is too far when it comes to speaking directly? Now, we can agree that the Danes were smug and arrogant and secularist in the drawing of these cartoons, but But that doesn't mean that we therefore need to stand back and say, okay, well, let's not ever criticize anyone's religious beliefs, because after all, we all have our faiths and we all want to protect not being offended. No, I want a Muslim to say to me directly, I do not think that Jesus was the Son of God, so that I can then turn around and say, no, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That's a conversation that might even result in some changed minds and changed hearts. But what do you think? How should we do this? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, screaming and shouting and carrying on all over the world as Muslims are rioting, and they're rioting about cartoons. Cartoons. But really what's at stake is what they consider to be blasphemy. And so the real issue that I think we have to deal with today is, how do we respond to people of other religions, Muslims, Mormons, Hindus, others? We have people of other world religions all around us these days. We're in dialogue. We're in conversation with them repeatedly. How do we get at the real issues without being needlessly offensive? How offensive is too offensive? I mean, we don't want to be like these Danish cartoonists. And yet at the same time, we don't want to be cowards either. We want to speak the truth and speak the truth lovingly. We have Jim on the line in Ames, Iowa. Jim, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Good to have you with us.
You know, the one comment I had, and I think you just said it, I think it definitely bears repeating, is that we have to have a balance between, we have to have both love and to speak the truth. And I think if we just told them the truth without love, we just might as well hit them over the head. And they probably wouldn't respond well to that. And if we just loved them and didn't tell them the truth, that wouldn't do them any good either. So I think we have to be really careful on that. We touch on both points.
How would you make sure you're doing that practically when you're talking to a Muslim, for instance? Because I know there's a lot of people. We all would agree we ought to speak the truth in love, but sometimes there are people who think what that means is you witness to Jesus, but you really don't deal with Allah or Muhammad or Joseph Smith or whatever the world religion is.
I'm really not quite sure how to answer your question, I guess, but I think if we prepare our hearts and if we pray that God would prepare other hearts, I think in that conversation that he would have the truth revealed, and then it would be up to that person to either accept Christ or not.
All right, what do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. You're dialoguing with a Muslim, and I'm not talking about a Muslim rioting in the streets of Jordan right now. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a Muslim who is in your town, USA, who walks in and says, you know, I'd like to have a conversation with you. I believe that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. How do you speak to that person without being personally offensive and yet get at the offense of the gospel? I mean, it really is a balancing act. So how should we do it? How should we make sure that we're speaking the truth in a world that says, you really can't criticize my religion because it's my religion, and don't touch it? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Chris on the line. Chris, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. I think it's important for you to understand, if you're talking to a Muslim, to have your history straight first. Muslims believe in the same God of the Bible. It all goes back to the God of Abraham, just like the Jews believe the same God that Christians do. The only question is Jesus God's son, and is Muhammad his prophet? Those are sub-questions. But to say that Allah is a false God, that's just the Arabic word for the same word, Lord, that Christians believe in the Old Testament. That's the split between Isaac and Ishmael.
Chris, I'm going to say this to you as lovingly as I can, and yet in truth, you are mistaken, knowing neither the scriptures nor the power of God, as Jesus said. When Jesus encountered Jewish people who were claiming to believe in the God of Abraham, what Jesus said is, you do not worship God, because if you did, you would recognize me. Abraham recognized me. To say that the Arabic word for Allah, that is God, true enough. But Baal in the Old Testament means master, and yet Elijah does not refer to the God of Israel as Baal. They are two different gods. The God of Islam is not the God of Jesus Christ. The God of Islam is a God who is alone, a God who is capricious, and a God who has not revealed himself in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, the only begotten of the Father, he has revealed him. And so to say that Jesus is a sub-question, no, Jesus is the question. That is how you know if you're believing in the Father, is if you receive the one whom he has sent. And I think that's a major misunderstanding that takes place. We say, you know, well, we agree on God, it's just Jesus that we disagree on. No, Jesus is the question. That's the issue. If we're disagreeing on Jesus, everything else flows from that. We're disagreeing about who God is, and if we're going to speak with Muslims, we have to be able to speak truthfully and honestly and to say, you know what, you believe in Allah, it's your right to believe in Allah, and yet I want to come and tell you I believe in a God completely different than that. I believe in a God who is loving, meaning that he has always been loving his Son through his Spirit. That's the God I want to point you to, the God of a crucified and resurrected Christ. What do you think? How should we dialogue with others? 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. You too, says love and peace, or else. All of you Abraham's sons, lay down your swords. And that's really the question. Who are Abraham's sons? And ought we have the freedom to say, I don't really think you're a son of Abraham. Those who are of Abraham are those of faith in Christ, the seed of Abraham. How ought we to talk to Muslims? And really, I think there's a fine line here. On the one hand, you have these Danish cartoonists who are being offensive and rude for the sake of being offensive and rude. And there are some Christians who sometimes see Christianity as an argument to be won. And that means that you ought to insult, that you ought to try to badger somebody into the faith. That's obviously not the route that we want to go. On the other hand, you have some Christians who are so weak and namby-pamby when it comes to the gospel, that they're willing to say things such as, well, we all worship the same God, we just kind of disagree on Jesus, and so let's kind of minimize our differences and maximize our samenesses. That's not the right route either, and that's not the model that we have in the Old or New Testaments. So how ought we to do this? You're sitting down in the coffee shop, you're talking to the guy who drives up with the I Heart Allah bumper sticker on the back of his car, and you're going to have a conversation with that guy. How do you speak to him directly about where you think he's just wrong while still loving him? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Chris on the line, listening on the web in Canada. We're going international today, as our producer Mike Pullman has said. We have a Canadian caller on the line. Chris, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi. When I think about, I've worked with Muslims in numerous contexts, and when I look at it, the one thing I've learned is controversy for the sake of controversy is always wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The controversy for the sake of the gospel is what is right. You have to establish the difference. Like, first and foremost, the truth of the gospel, who Jesus is, that he's Son of God, not a prophet. And furthermore, it's not enough. You need to love them, and you need to demonstrate Christ with your life, but we're commanded to preach the gospel. And with words, we have to proclaim who he is, who Christ is. And I think that's a key, and it does cause controversy. but it's a good controversy. And there's a craving among many Muslims to know that.
Now, Chris, when you're talking to Muslims, how do you find them receiving your blunt talk about the identity of Jesus?
They receive it in different ways. I have been receiving protests from some requesting that I sign them and oppose what's going on in oppose the government of Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
And in those contexts, they're not receiving what I'm saying well. But in other contexts, they have received it well, and we've been able to sit down with a Bible open, with the Quran open, and discuss it, and truly bring to light what are the differences, and beyond that, why are the differences important? And that opens, of course, the door for the gospel to be presented fully.
Chris, I like your attitude, and I also like your approach. I think you're exactly right, that controversy for the sake of controversy, that's just a pugilist. But controversy for the sake of clarifying where we differ, I think that's exactly what you see the Apostle Paul doing, for instance, at Mars Hill, where he stands up and says, look, you all are very religious, but you don't even believe what you say you believe. You act like you can contain the divine in a temple, and yet even your own poets say you can't contain God in a temple. And so I want to come and proclaim to you what you say you don't know, an unknown God. And what does he do? He preaches Jesus and the resurrection. And he does that right from the very beginning. Now, that causes a controversy, but remember what kind of controversy it causes. Some of them walk away, and some of them say, we're going to hear about this later. We want to hear more about this. I think that's what happens when a true gospel controversy is ignited. Not a controversy of offensive people like these Danish cartoonists saying, let's just ridicule you. We don't want to ridicule you, but we want to say to you, we don't believe that what you're holding to is going to get you what you're looking for. We think what you're holding to is going to lead you toward judgment, and we love you enough to tell you that. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe I'm just an idiot. Maybe I'm not seeing things clearly here, but I think that if someone believes that my religious belief system is going to take me to eternal judgment, they ought to speak bluntly to me about it. Lovingly, but bluntly, and let me come back and say, This is what I think. This is what I believe. We have Kathy, who is listening in Townsend, Montana, on XM Radio. Kathy, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. Currently, I'm corresponding with a prisoner that has switched to the Muslim faith, and it's difficult since we're not talking face-to-face. But we correspond back and forth regularly, and I just state to him what my faith is, and I also tell him that what he's missing is the personal relationship that their religion does not allow. And that in itself is worth volumes.
Yeah.
And I've been battling cancer for 11 years, and he's aware of that, and I just tell him my faith, that in how that I know God is with me every minute of every day. And I won't argue with him because I don't find any value in that.
Yeah.
And I won't degrade him because there's no value in that either. Christ
right.
wouldn't do that.
Right, right. And yet you're willing to be very honest about saying this is who Jesus is. I think that's a correct approach. I mean, Kathy, you think about the way you mentioned that you have a God who relates to you lovingly. That's exactly what's missing in Islam. You have in Allah a God who requires submission, but it's a submission of just sheer sovereignty. We have in the Christian gospel a God who is sovereign, sovereign over all things, and yet a God who is also loving, a God who knows when a sparrow falls, and yet who counts us as more important than these sparrows for the sake of Jesus Christ. I think that knowing a God like that means speaking the truth in love, but speaking the truth even to Muslims, even when you're kind of scared. How are they going to respond to this? What do you think? How should we relate to those of different world religions without ridiculing them, but at the same time without being cowards? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. You're sitting with the Muslim. How honest are you about Jesus, about the gospel? How do you use that liberty for the sake of the truth. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. I know what you're thinking. We've had no country music today on the Albert Mohler Program with me sitting in. And really, I think that's just because there's not a lot of country music songs about Islam. I'm still thinking, but we haven't been able to find any yet. We're talking today about how to relate to people of other world religions, especially Muslims. I mean, right now, when you have cartoonists creating riots in the streets because they're insulting Muslims, how can we share the gospel without being personally insulting to people who hold a different beliefs than we do? We have Ronald on the line, who is in Asheville, North Carolina, listening on WHCB. Ronald, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, sir. Where's the point in time, the New Testament instruction, that you tell what you have to say and you shake the dust off your feet and move on? You can only say so much, and I believe that was instructed to Paul, and there you have it. And you leave that town and move on to try to tell someone else.
Well, I think that's a hard thing to know, Ronald. I mean, I think the Bible does tell us there comes a point where you shake the dust off your feet and move on, and yet the Bible also tells us that the power of the Spirit is able to bring about conversion. That means we keep praying, we keep witnessing, and I'm not sure. I honestly, that's something that I struggle with often in terms of people that I have been sharing with and talking with for a long time. And yet I know that it's not my arguments. These arguments are not going to bring them to faith in Christ. It's the power of the Spirit. It's the power of the gospel. It's the conviction of sin. And so that's what gives me the encouragement to continue speaking the gospel and to continue witnessing and to continue praying. Now, there's an excellent article written today by John Piper. Many of you are familiar with him, pastor and theologian. John Piper writes about the differences between Christianity and Islam that could be seen even in these uprisings over the Danish cartoons about Muhammad. One of the things that Dr. Piper says is that, you know, in Christianity, we ought to expect to be insulted. Jesus was insulted. Jesus was mocked. And we are sharing in his suffering. And that while Islam is based on honor and on being honored, our religion ought to be based on being mocked. We ought not to be surprised when we're mocked. We ought not to be surprised when we're insulted, because we know ultimately that the last word on all of this is Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And there will come a day when the God of all the universe will point to that man and say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And his name isn't Muhammad, it's Jesus Christ. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. We'll be back tomorrow to take on the issues that matter, and hope you'll join us. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.